This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. I mentioned briefly last week on the program an item from Fitch, the ratings people, that this country's credit rating could suffer, making borrowing more expensive, of which we are doing a lot, by the way, borrowing. Anyway, it would suffer if there's not a peaceful transfer of power after the election. And that prompted this, a conversation about all the other ways this election might make mischief with this economy if it's not normal. Wendy Edelberg is the director of the Hamilton Project. She's also a senior fellow at Brookings. Wendy, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much for having me.
So broad brush, lay it out for me. We have been told that we're probably not going to know who won the election on election night. What do you think that means writ large for the American economy in the next 2 months?
I suspect it means that it will take too long to get the kind of fiscal support that we need to support this really fragile recovery. And that frustrates me because doing it now is too late. Doing it a month from now is much too late.
What happens? So I will stipulate that is a thing that could or will happen on election night or afterward. What happens if it becomes contested and challenged and acrimonious?
So right now, measures that tell us how uncertain things are for businesses, for investors, for households, those measures are through the roof. And uncertainty is generally really bad for economic activity. It prevents firms from putting investments in place and expanding and putting in hiring decisions. And it prevents households from making decisions about the future. And we're just going to create one more really significant headwind if November and December, for that matter, is that much more an environment of uncertainty layered on top of the immense uncertainty we have because of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. I say on this program all the time, and regular listeners know this, the stock market is not the economy. I do wonder, though, beyond the real economy measures that you have laid out in that answer, what do you imagine stock markets will do, just because a lot of people look at that as an indicator?
So you're absolutely right. The stock market is not the economy, and the stock market is giving us all sorts of incorrect signals right now, and it wouldn't really surprise me if it continued to give us really incorrect signals. As much as uncertainty and a contested election would be really bad for small businesses, for individual households, it may well be good for some of the large firms that are driving the stock market gains. That's really hard to know. And I'm also guessing that people who hold equities are pretty aware of the issues that you and I just talked about. And so my thought is that that's mostly baked into the stock market. And so those investors are expecting things to be pretty chaotic for a couple of weeks after the election. I would expect things to basically move sideways. I mean, which is to say the flip side, that if we get a clear outcome and uncertainty is largely resolved very quickly, I can imagine that being fabulous for the stock market.
Let me point out that if he loses, President Trump will still be president for 2.5 months, right? Election day to the 20th of January. Contested election aside, challenged election aside, random tweets aside, he's still the president with full executive authority to influence this economy.
So maybe this means that with all of these issues leading up to the election off the table, because that uncertainty is resolved, I don't know, maybe we can hope. Maybe policymakers will then come together and do the right thing. I've been asked before, what will you tell policymakers on January 20th to do to support our economy? And the first thing I'll say is get in a time machine and go back 6 months to support the economy then. So I have grave concerns about policymakers waiting until January to pass the kind of fiscal support that the economy needs right now.
Wendy Edelberg. She is the director of the Hamilton Project, also senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Wendy, thanks for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.